Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
This podcast is supported by Midi Health. Are you in midlife, feeling dismissed, unheard, or just plain tired of the old healthcare system? You're not alone. In fact, even today, 75% of women seeking care for menopause and perimenopause issues are left entirely untreated. But it's time for a change. It's time for Midi. Midi's not just a healthcare provider. It's a women's telehealth clinic founded and supported by world-class leaders in women's health. Their clinicians provide one-on-one, face-to-face consultations where they truly listen to your unique needs. They offer a full range of holistic, data-driven solutions that isn't one-size-fits-all care. This is care uniquely tailored for you. At Midi, you will find that their mission is clear: to help all women thrive in midlife, giving them access to the healthcare they deserve, because they believe midlife isn't the middle at all. It is the beginning of your second act. Ready to feel your best and write your second act script? Visit joinmidi.com today to book your personalized insurance-covered virtual visit. That's joinmidi.com. Midi, the care women deserve.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back for our episode 4 predictions and power rankings of Winners at War. And today we are joined by one of the winners who's not at war, Tommy Sheehan, who's just kind of chilling, drinking Bud Lights, going to XFL games and having a damn good time. Thanks for joining us, Tommy.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, instead of starving on the island, I'm drinking Bud Lights and playing, watching the XFL and doing fun things. So it's fun to be a fan. And again, even though I wish I was out there, but good to be back, good to be a fan again.
And you kind of showed us your shirt earlier. You said you're wearing that representing Dean Kowalski, which nobody else can see it, but there it is. 5'4". They don't make shirts that say 6'4", so it's 5'4" for Dean Kowalski.
Yeah. If it was 6'4", it would say 6'4", just so I got this shirt for Dean, 5'4", you know, I had to help him get his shoes and everything like that. So yeah, throw a little shade at my boy Dean, you know, I love him and everything like that, but I'll be TS chilling with you guys for probably what, the next hour? Oh, and
you say TS chilling one more time, it might be 3 minutes.
I gotta go. I'm busy. Michelle's number one. I'm out. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, get out of here with that. You're coming in, though. You got to come in and you got to kind of save the day here, Tommy, because last week Alexa had like a last second thing, so she wasn't there on Wednesday. It was me and an intern, and Michelle had a great episode. She won MVP, and I just went off on how great Michelle is, because a lot of the new listeners weren't there for Ko-Rong when I loved her so much. Mm. And I haven't really gotten to just stan her this entire season. And now I got to do it, and I was getting so much hate in the chat. So, Tommy, you got to come here and, like, knock some sense into me or something, because I think if there's another episode of just Michelle praise, we're going to lose, like, three quarters of our people because they don't understand trolling. They just don't get it. So, what do you think about that?
What, they all hate Michelle?
They all hate me for loving Michelle.
Phil loves to talk about Michelle.
Oh, so that's
okay. Very annoying.
You know, and what I've learned too is bad press is good press, Phil. So if you keep getting bashed, people are going to come back just to bash you, and your viewers will go up and just like that. You know what I'm saying? Because
that's it.
Russell Hance, right? Why does he get invited back to Survivor all the time? Because people love to hate him. So that's all right. So Michelle, I mean, it's the first time we saw her, right? Three episodes in, it was like,
oh no, no, we've been seeing her. I you know how like Nick Wilson had his like that little edit that he put together.
Oh,
he's
God,
like, I just look good no matter what. I had somebody make this similar edit of Michelle over the first two episodes. She's in plenty of the episode. It was like 10 minutes. Yeah,
you would just find her. It was like hide and go seek. Like,
yeah.
Nick's been killing me because he had the ah, and then like said one word, and that was all he got.
Yeah.
Like the poor guy.
You know, there's a lot of people like, and that's what was hard about making
Cam. Where's Cam been?
Yeah.
Where's Kim? Where's Nick been? Where's Wendell really? Where's he been? Like, there's a ton of people that I've like, I haven't even heard of, like, a confessional from. So it was kind of hard to do these power rankings because do you rank them in the middle, like based on edit, or do you, but I don't know how they're playing. I don't know anything about them. This is the first time we saw Michelle, but she had the best episode probably out of anyone out there. So it's hard to do these power rankings because you're trying to base it off gameplay, but also edit and why people aren't being shown. But we've seen a lot of Boston Rob, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And but does that mean Boston Rob's going to last? Or is that just because Boston Rob gives great confessionals and is central to everything? I mean, Adam Klein has the most confessionals on the season. I don't think Adam's going to win, but he's got the most confessionals, and he's very much in it.
I think at the end of the day, and it was actually Nick, of all people, the one who said this, someone tweeted like, hey, are you upset about your edit? And he was like, I'm on a tribe with Tony and Yule. I don't want the edit. Like, let them have this. And so we're going to get a ton of Parvati and Boston Rob and Yule and Tony because it's what people want to see. We haven't seen them in how long?
And that's exactly what it is. We just saw Wendell. We just saw Nick. So we know their stories, where they have to now retell Ethan's story. They have to retell Boston Rob's story. Poverty is no longer this flirt. She's this mom now. So they have to like kind of use these first couple episodes to re-get to know Poverty and re-get to know Boston Rob, where Nick, Wendell, all these players that just played, we know their story. We know what they're about. They played a year ago, so they haven't changed. So it's not like this, wow, they used to play like this. Now look at them now. It's like, all right, I saw them four seasons ago. I know who they are. They're fresh in my mind. So I think that's what the edit is doing too. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to play this edit, which is nice. As a viewer, again, a lot of people hated my season where they're like, from episode one, they're like, Tommy's going to win, right? Where this one, I'm like, damn, I have no clue who's going to win. I have not a clue at all. So it's really exciting to not be clear on who the winner is and stuff like that. But to also go off your point, I felt the same way. I was getting a lot of confessionals, right? But I had Elaine on my tribe. She is the best confessional giver out there. She's hysterical. Yeah. So I would much rather Elaine tell the story than me tell the story. But I think that's the thing. Tony, you use him as a confessional because it makes you laugh. Mm. But someone like Yule, he can narrate the whole thing, be like, this is the reason why we're doing this. And yeah, it might be a little more dry, but it's much more concise and controlled, and like it's easy for the viewer to follow. So I think that's the thing too with editing.
Yeah, I think you're right. And then we already have these built-in storylines because, like, obviously they talked about Boston Rob and Parvati with, you know, they fought each other during Heroes Villains, and now they're getting back together. Like, there's some storylines, Boston Rob and Sandra, that we don't need to really have it. Like, we need to like have it refreshed in our minds. We don't need to have it completely over explained because really Boston Rob and Parvati, we had their first episode. They say, let's work together this time. Let's try it. And we haven't really heard them say that to each other since. It's just something that we've kind of been able to assume throughout. Whereas Yule and Sophie, we've kind of heard that a lot. We had to hear a lot about Sarah and Tony because why would they work together after being at each other's throats? So I think that it's difficult right now, but I do think that things have shaped up pretty obviously for this episode. Yeah. I think you really are coming in here, Tommy. As some people would say, Island of the Idols is the easiest season to win. I think you're coming in here on the easiest week Because I think there's like three or four people who can go home. I think that it's really started to take shape. And then there could be a swap next week at 15 that makes it three tribes.
Yeah, I was actually nervous when you texted me, like, what episode do you want to come on? I was like, damn, when it's tribe swap, you literally, it's just a needle in a haystack. But right now you are seeing the exact formation of alliances, which is fun to see alliances stick together. But with this season, $2 million on the line, I kind of disagree where I think all 16 can go home, because just like now, you know, like Adam was in a good spot, but one little mishap, one little thing, and everything's blown up. So where Tyson was just going after Sandra, but in the preview, it's like, hey, let's work together. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what's going to go on and anything like that. So I think really, like, it was hard for me. I think all 16 can go home, and that just shows how great these players are.
Well, and who would have thought Ethan was going to go home last week? I mean, there was a little bit of a chance, but who's expecting it out of everybody on that tribe? You have Parvati, you have Boston Rob, Jeremy was in an okay spot, Adam was very like a focus of everything, so he could have gone home. And then it's Ethan who goes out of nowhere. And it was Danny the week before, really out of nowhere. And I think that's becoming a trend. Really, the only one that I thought was predictable was Amber. And that's just because on that tribe, who else are you going to get rid of? You're not going to get rid of Tyson because he's good at challenges. You're not going to get rid of Kim because she's good at challenges. Amber's husband is on the other tribe. Just get rid of her. And I thought that was the only obvious boot in these first four boots.
And what I also like about just Survivor in general now, right? The first 20 seasons, it was always the older woman or the person bad at challenges. Sandra hasn't even competed in a challenge. She's fine. Like, it doesn't matter. And look at my season, right? Janet, she's a beast, but we didn't really know she was a beast right after the first, you know, she threw the grappling hook. But like, Survivor has changed so much where it's not about like, we have to keep strong. Let's win. I'd rather lose and find out who's strong and who's in my alliance than vote out the old person just because I want to win challenges. Survivor, you do tribe swaps you all the time. You never know. It could be at 18 a tribe swap. It could be at 16. So I'd rather keep someone like Sandra or keep the older person if you know you're going to work with them. So I think Survivor's just changed completely where you don't really care about challenge strength as much anymore in these new seasons.
Yeah, and it's become, we have the meat shield strategy like Jeremy imposes. He wants Boston Rob, he wants Tyson, he wants Tony, he wants all those players. But then you also have this kind of like meat shield from a just who they are as a player. I mean, you kind of had Janet. Yeah, Janet's not really like she's strong and all of that, but she's not your typical meat shield. You would have been her meat shield, and you were really kind of using her throughout. So there's just different ways to take the game now. And honestly, I think the first time we kind of saw something similar with that style was back in season two when you had Roger Bingham, because Roger was one of those players who he should have gone home so early, was scared to jump off the waterfall, all these things, but they kept keeping him around because one, they liked him, and two, it was like, if we let him get to the end, he's going to beat whoever we sit next to. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they weren't saying it in that way, but I'm sure Elizabeth would have had no problem being like, all right, fine, I'll sit in the final two against Colby or Tina or whoever, you know. So I think like you start to see that, but now we've seen it evolve so far that we have just like Sandra being the ultimate meat shield, and she's, the meme is, name a more iconic duo, and it's her and the bench. So like who would have thought that season 40, the most feared winner would be a woman who literally sits out of every challenge it's that incredible. She possibly, she's sitting out again this week, and I'm going to get the easiest prop bet of all time of sits out three challenges in episode 5
or 4,
whatever it is.
And it's not a big deal. But fun fact too, I was actually at the XFL game yesterday, and my buddies were like, oh, like, who do you talk to? I'm like, I talk to Sandra. Like, what winners do you talk to? I was like, oh, I talk to Michelle Fitzgerald, blah, blah, blah. I was like, let's FaceTime Sandra right now. So we're at the XFL game. I just whip out my phone. I FaceTime Sandra, and she just pops up, and she's like, hey, Tommy, what's going on? Like, talking to all the fans. I was like passing my phone around. She's just talking to like all the XFL fans. And of course, she's like out food shopping in her Queen Stays Queen shirt. I'm like, this is amazing. I was like, she has the shirt that says Queen Stays Queen with the crown. And I'm like, she just rocks that. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't even matter if it's like Survivor theme. She's out food shopping in her Queen Stays Queen. So Sandra's the queen of Survivor, but she's the queen of life too. It was hysterical.
I love that it's not like, this isn't a fake persona. It is not that I thought it was, but like, it is so truly just who she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and good. Then even Wendell, when he sits out, he was just like, all right, queen, like, we'll see you in a bit.
Man,
like,
whatever you say.
Whatever you want, queen. Like, she's unbelievable. Like, she's incredible. Really is. I used to think she was a bad winner and stuff like that. But after getting to know her, I'm like, this girl has this power of, like, I met her in 10 seconds. I'm like, I'll work with you, like, in real life. Oh, my God, I love you. I talk to her every day. I'm like, she's just so relatable and so down to earth. And, like, yeah, she calls herself queen and stuff like that. That's all, like, her persona, but a joke. And you just fall in love with her so fast. So, like, I respected her game, getting to know her as a person outside the game. So she's going to be – I don't know. I think she'll do pretty well in this game, too. I'm surprised she's not voted out already.
And she's got an idol. And that it's still good for it's two still, tribal councils.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. So I mean, we'll talk about that because you did play – or not play with, but you played near Boston Rob and Sandra both. I mean, they almost saw you, right? So, we'll have, as they got on their boat, they're like, bye, winner.
Yeah.
Never got to meet you. But so we will get to talk about Boston Rob and Sandra. And, I mean, how do you think, though – because we did talk about Sandra there. How do you think Boston Rob is doing? And is this kind of exactly what you expected after briefly getting to meet him in Island of the Idols?
So – yeah, so I briefly got to meet him there, and I briefly met him in real life and stuff like that. But I think what it comes down to is, and I go through my rankings, and I'll tell you about that, but mm-hmm. I think the best players learn to adapt based on what season they're on and who they're playing with, and they don't play one style. Boston Rob plays one style. Mm-hmm. I think, and crucify me, I think he's one of the most overrated players of all time mm-hmm. Because he played, what, four times? It took him four times to win? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he came in second, and then he won. But the other two times, what? He was pre-merge, right? Mm-hmm. He only plays this one style. I'm in control. I'm going to tell you what to do. And maybe that worked in the old school. But in new school, he's already Boston Rob. He should have came in trying to lower his threat level, trying to, you know, make amends. Hey, look, guys, I'm a family guy now. Kind of like what Poverty is doing. Like, mm-hmm. But no, he came in. He's like, this is who I'm working with. This is what you're doing. And he's already dictating. He's like the godfather, making people dump out their bags. And I'm like, dude, you're just making your target. You're still the same old Boston Rob. I was like, so you got to have more tricks up your sleeve instead of being the godfather or the, you know, the person that dictates every move. So I don't think he's playing that great of a game. I'm surprised he's still in the game, but I don't think Boston Rob knows how to change up his game based on who he's playing with.
And I will say this, just because the Boston Rob fans were the ones who hated me the most last week, because I guess I was like just saying Boston Rob was crazy and Michelle was amazing. And everybody's like, Michelle sucks. Boston Rob's great. That was all of it. So I just want to say this to save you, Tommy. Boston Rob did make the merge in Marquesas. And I'm just announcing that not as like a knock at you. I'm announcing that so that everybody knows that, yes, we know. But when we're making a point, sometimes we just kind of lump people in. But yeah. I already started seeing the comments come in. And I know that our entire thing is going to be, these people don't even know what plays Boston Rob made in the Marquesas. Yeah. So I just don't want to read 675 comments of that. But I kind of disagree a little bit. I do think Boston Rob plays the same game every time. But I actually have been kind of impressed with how he's been able to not like Jeremy and Michelle clearly didn't have the power early in this game. They both voted wrong, but now all of a sudden they're in this swing spot. Do we want to get rid of Adam? Do we want to get rid of Ethan? Do we want to get rid of Boston Rob? They could have gotten rid of anybody they wanted that vote.
Yep.
And I think they're the only ones that Boston Rob isn't really fooling in some way. Other than that, Boston Rob's kind of just like taken over his tribe. He really has. I mean, he's got Ben mumbling. He's got Adam spilling secrets that Adam probably never does if it's not Boston Rob sitting there, but he's trying to just make amends, but whatever. He's got Poverty like in his right-hand pocket. He's got he's just not really doing much with Denise, but I feel like we just haven't seen that. And if Adam's telling Boston Rob so much, maybe Denise doesn't know about it, but I don't know. I just feel like Boston Rob has been able, I mean, he survived three tribal councils as Boston Rob. Yeah. And I think that says something, whether it's just because he's so aggressive, everybody's like, well, we can get rid of him anytime. Jeremy wants to use him as a meat shield, something like that. I think it says something about what he's able to do out there.
And to clarify my point, I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm just saying I think he's overrated.
Absolutely overrated.
I think he's a great player. Look what he's done. He convinced everyone to drop off their bags. He should have been home four times by now, but he was still able to control votes being Boston Rob and Ben stumbling over his words and creating alliances with Poverty, who he backstabbed before. Like, he's doing a great job, but I don't think he's playing a winning game. He's already too much of a threat. I'm not saying he's not a good player. He's a good player, but I think he's very overrated, and I don't think he's playing a winning game. You know, he might make merge. And for Boston Rob to make merge on all winners is amazing. Yeah. But I don't think he's playing a winning game so far this game. Yeah, he saved himself, and he has to scramble from the beginning because he is Boston Rob. But that's just my opinion of him so far.
It's like a surviving game, but like in this season, just like the way that he's playing and like the Godfather kind of vibe, like that's just not how you should be playing with all of these egos.
Yep.
And everyone here is trying to be the best winner, and if he's gonna, you know, Godfather them, they're not gonna like that.
Yeah, and no one wants to sit next to Boston Rob because his name is Boston Rob and he has a statue. Mm-hmm. But he's now just dictating even more. So now everyone's like, well, he's Boston Rob. He has a statue, but he's doing a great job. He's controlling votes. Let's vote his ass off. You know what I mean? Where he should have just been sitting back, trying to make these alliances and then merge, start being your Boston Rob and dictating. But he's doing it way too early. Maybe he has to because he's Boston Rob. I'm not out there. I don't know. But in my philosophy, you know, and that's kind of how I won. I don't think it's the best way to win, but it's just the way I think you have to do it in season 39, 38, 40 is pre-merge, right? Your moves in pre-merge aren't going to be remembered at the final three. The pre-merge for me is a time that you're supposed to build as many social bonds as possible. You're supposed to have alliances with so many different people. So if there is a tribe swap, you can work with anybody that's on your tribe, right? I got tribe swapped with Lauren, Dan, and Jason. I could work with them. But if I was in the other tribe, could I work with Jamal still? Yes. Could I work with Jack still? Yes. Janet, I could work with. Kelly, I could have worked with. So at that tribe swap, I could have worked with anybody. Where Boston Rob now at a tribe swap, he can't work with half these people.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Or so my thing in pre-merge is to build these social bonds. So when it comes to merge, then you build your resume and you have all these avenues to go through. And that's why I think when we get to it, Jeremy and Michelle Fitzgerald are in a great spot because they're making decisions, but they're not putting a real target on their back, but they have all these doors. They can go right. They can go left. They can go straight. So they have these avenues and all these people working with them. You know, where Boston Rob, who does he have working with him right now?
Poverty. That's it.
And Sandra's ready to murder him.
Yeah. So. You know, so I don't think he has enough social capital right now to make huge moves, come merge and move on in the game.
Well, if anybody listening is, you know, getting calls or anything for season 41, 42, 43, whatever, just listen to what Tommy just said. I feel like that's important. I feel like what Tommy just said is a good way to get through the merge. Because in the pre-merge, I think what we're seeing on this season especially, and I'm not saying that this is a bad thing. I'm not saying it's bad, but Adam is trying to make really big moves so early. And I think that that's fine because to win all winners, you have to make these big moves. You have to be strategizing from day one. And I think that should, like, I'd rather Adam Klein go out there and be playing balls to the wall from day one than just sit on his hands and be like, well, I'll wait till the merge to do it. Because he did that once and it worked for him. But this time he does, like, this time he knows he has to play a different game, but he is still overplaying. And I think we're seeing that more and more, especially on your season. With Island of the Idols, the other tribe, not yours, but the other tribe, they really seemed like they were overplaying early in terms of like, let's blindside this person, let's blindside that person. It builds the distrust, and all of a sudden that tribe is gone before you even get near the end of the game. So I don't know. I think that that can be troublesome for people, and that's becoming the new norm. And I don't think that necessarily has to be how it is. It's great TV. It's not great to win the game.
Yeah. And then come merge, right? You said Lyro, they're all making these big moves. There were so many lines drawn in that tribe where they couldn't muster up people, where Dean, he didn't want to go back with them. Karishma didn't want to go back with them. And that ended up being more doors for me. Before merge, you don't want to backstab all these people. You don't want to draw these huge lines in your tribe because then you have less people to work with. Merge, I had everyone from Volkai I could have worked with, but also I had people from Lyro. Aaron wanted to work with me. All these, you know, so you have to keep these avenues open. It worked for me, but to go off your point too, what I do like about Adam is that he is changing up his game, right? He understands this is season 40. He's not the biggest name out there. You know, Boston Rob can make the end, and he's Boston Rob. He'll win. Sandra could just make the end, and she's Sandra. She wins, no matter what her resume is. Mm-hmm. Adam realizes, hey, I'm not the best winner out of these 20. I don't have this big name. I don't have a statue of me, like he says at the, you know, at the tribal council. He's like, I have to do these moves even earlier to get this resume, to build this trust, to move on. But I agree. He's just doing way too much right now.
Yeah. And that can lead into the power rankings because now we've gone over 20 minutes without talking about them. But my number one is obviously Michelle. There's no way I wasn't going to put Michelle at number one. But this kind of goes to what you just said. there's certain players who go out there and they know that all they have to do is get to the end. And that's still a very hard game. We saw Sari do it in Game Changers. She got pretty far and then ends up leaving. We saw Sandra do pretty well in Game Changers. If there wasn't that second tribe swap, she makes it probably to the merge, and then God only knows how far Sandra can go. But there's certain players, Parvati, Boston Rob, I'd probably say Tony. Like, if they get to the end, they're just going to win. It doesn't really matter what they do, unless they're coming off the edge. Then maybe they don't win.
But
they're going to win. Michelle is constantly thinking, and we've heard it now twice in three episodes. So despite the fact that everybody says we haven't seen her, Tommy, we have heard twice in three episodes, people don't think I should have won my season, and I'm trying to prove them wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think that because of that, she's got to play so much better of a game than Tony or Sandra or Boston Rob just to even have a shot at the end. But I'm glad that people like her and people like Adam and people like maybe Sophie, they're realizing that. And they know that they have to play so much better of a game. And it's kind of what Boston Rob had to do his second time out there. Yeah. Didn't have the target on his back. He's like, let's just get rid of Cesternino. He's a big threat. Hatch, Lex, all that. You can get rid of the big threats and keep around people who weren't seen as threats. And like, you have to change up your game somewhat. And I'm glad that these people are realizing it. But obviously, Michelle's my number one.
Yeah. You want to go?
I saw that one coming.
I'll go off of that. I have Jeremy first. And that has to do with kind of the fits. And I have Michelle Fitzgerald second. So I'm kind of lumping
them. We just switched. Yeah.
So
I have Jeremy at two.
Cool. So the reason I put them two there too is I think both of them realized what game they played, which one, right? Jeremy was all about keeping these meat shields around and doing this and making big moves. Well, Michelle Fitzgerald realized people don't think she's a worthy winner. People don't think that she did a good job in her first season and that she has to make these big moves. So both of them were on the wrong side of the boat. They were on the outs. Now they mustered up the courage to gain everybody to listen to them. And they knocked off someone big and, you know, in the old school way of playing. Mm-hmm. And what I loved about Jeremy is he has this, and that's kind of what I tried to play like, and I think he did a way better job than me, is Jeremy is massive. He is huge. He also has this story of do it for Val. He has these kids. How do you not love him? But for some reason, he's not this huge threat. Like, if I see him, I don't want to do a challenge against Jeremy.
He's the closer in the challenges, too.
Yeah, but he's still not like, oh, we got to vote him after merge. Like, and he's also like this sweet home firefighter. What a great job to sit at the end. He has a family. Like, and somehow people just don't view him as this humongous threat. He does a great job building relationships, but also showing like, hey, guys, you can beat me at the end, but no one will. Get what I'm saying?
Get what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, and what I also liked is that when they all got back, when they lost the challenge, they're all sitting there, right? And no one wanted to make that first move. Mm-hmm. Jeremy stood up and Ben went running. Everyone wanted to talk to Jeremy. Like, you know, he already has this now. Clearly him and Miss Fitz have a really good duo right there, right? Mm-hmm. And I think he would beat Michelle at the end, you know, just based on
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I think Michelle has to play a Sandra type heroes villains game in order to win and be sitting next to people that have just angered the jury, like Russell and Parvati did. That's what she's going to have to do to win. And Jeremy's not going to anger the jury.
Mm-hmm. And Jeremy has Natalie on the edge of extinction, helping him out. You know, she gave him a token. So he has all this help on edge, but now he's like the center point of this alliance. Boston Rob looked at him after that vote, like, shit, I'm going to need you now. You know, Boston Rob's going to come running to Jeremy. Jeremy had Ben running to him to help, you know, work with him. So I think Jeremy's in this really good spot of, you know, he got back, you know, after this Natalie vote and he's just rocking it. And Michelle Fitzgerald, who's number two, I think is doing a great job. And I had that in my notes, is she understands what she has to do to win now.
Right.
Making this move. But again, it wasn't this huge, huge splashy move, but it's still a move on her belt. And she could just say, look, I was on the first vote, not on the right side of the numbers. Now look what I did. I became the center point. I became the swing vote. I made that move. And she can own that move with Jeremy. So I think that's, you know, fantastic.
And I think Michelle also knows that she cannot go to the end with Jeremy. So I think she does have that kind of self-awareness. I don't think Jeremy would think, oh, I have to cut Michelle. But Michelle knows that she will have to cut Jeremy.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And going back to that, what I think was so amazing about what Michelle and Jeremy were able to do in this last episode is they convinced Adam, and I think Adam voted for Parvati, right? I'm not making that up.
Yeah. Yeah.
They convinced Adam that the vote was going to Parvati. They convinced Boston Rob and Parvati the vote was going for Adam. And then they still were able to convince Denise and Ben that the vote was actually going where it did, which was on Ethan. Yeah. That's incredible that they were able to get all of those people to believe exactly what they were dishing out. And I think that says a lot to how they both played the first time. Both of them were incredibly loyal. And yeah. and Jeremy obviously played twice, but both times Jeremy played, he's a very loyal player. Michelle was very loyal to her girls in her first season, was very mm-hmm. loyal to Jason and all of them. So I think it says a lot about just how the two of them are playing. The reason I give it to Michelle over Jeremy and Tommy, I'm glad you're sitting right here. The reason I do this is because of exactly what happened with you and Lauren. You always got the credit over Lauren when those moves happened. Yeah. Like what at that first boot, when it was Molly who went home, it was you being shown, I got to go apologize. I got to do this. I got to do that. And even though Lauren has told us it was her move and you've said it's yours, but you know, either way, we saw it from your point of view. And in this last episode, Michelle was the one getting the confessionals about screw Adam. She's the one who went up to Ben. She went up to Denise. She's the one who went and talked to every single player. And that's why I give more credit to Michelle on this move, not freaking fanboy, but because it actually is what we saw on the screen.
Yeah. We saw her like conferring with Jeremy, but it was her idea. Yeah.
And I love it too. Like she was having those, I talk about all the time. People probably sick and hearing of it. You saw her have those one-on-ones with everyone. She was going up to one-on-one with everybody. She was sitting one-on-one with Jeremy. And then they showed like that montage of her like telling people what to do. But like, it was like one-on-one. It wasn't in these group settings. So like she could build this trust. And, you know, I think Michelle's someone, if you give her this footing, give her this confidence, I think she went in a little like starstruck, right? All these great players, but now she's gaining her footing. She was on the wrong side. She's got her footing. She just created this great move where she convinced all these people to do exactly what she wanted. And now I think she's going to be full steam ahead. And that's why I have her at two. Yeah.
Yeah. And the actual line that we saw on the screen, because still in the chat, it's still like, it was clearly Jeremy's move. The actual line we heard while they're walking down the beach is, why don't we get rid of Ethan? Literally from Michelle Fitzgerald's mouth, not from Jeremy's mouth. So just snagging. Alexa, who's your one and two?
I could not have taken a more opposite approach from you guys. My number one is Nicholas Wilson, because the edit doesn't care about him. No one cares about him. Why are you getting rid of Nick? The guy is a part of some very, very large, questionable, if it actually exists, alliance on the Red Tribe. But no one is targeting him. And my number two behind that is Sophie. And Sophie's going to keep staying really high up for me because now that, you know, Tyson's name is getting around, Sandra's name is getting thrown around, Kim's name is going to continue to get thrown around, Sophie decides if Kim goes home or not. Sophie is the person who decides that. And that is so much power that has just been given to her. And I think also I wouldn't be shocked if this tribe wins again because they're so good in challenges. So I have Jeremy and Michelle very high, but I have to put those two up there.
Yeah, I like it. I have them in the middle mainly because Sophie kind of took a back seat last week, didn't have a really great episode. So I moved her down from where I previously had her. But yeah, I mean, I can't see Nick Wilson going home this week after getting one and a quarter confessionals. They're counting. Yeah. They're counting last week's as a confessional. Yeah. He didn't say a word.
And then after the challenge, they just gave him the wow. They just
That was a challenge.
It's so brutal.
Yeah. But he's bored about it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, he's been a champ.
That mashup is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It's like some people just look cool doing whatever.
Second mashup.
Like every little shot. I can't handle it. But how do you feel about Nick? I know we didn't get to Nick and Sophie yet, but how are you feeling about them? I mean, if you don't have them yet, you won't have to get too much into it. But how are you feeling about that?
I won't. Yeah, I got them down, but I not really far down, but I'll get into them. But I just wanted to say Sophie. One, I love her. I think she is so much fun to watch. I think she is great at the game. Maybe I missed her season because I don't remember her.
Her season's not good.
Yeah, so maybe I just forgot it because I'm pretty sure I watched every single season ever. But just these three episodes, I'm like, I want more of her. Like, I think she's good at confessionals. I think she was so like cute when like that Yule was like want to work together, and she like stops in her track and like she's like, you have to emphasize that more. I was like, she has me cracking up. She has me glued to the TV. I think she's very entertaining, and she is crushing these puzzles. Mm-hmm. And another
she's
thing,
amazing at puzzles.
But again, it's not like no one's going to be afraid of Sophie at the merge of being a physical threat. But I think puzzles is what the last, you know, the last leg. If she makes final nine, they're usually all puzzles. So I think she can go on an immunity run and stuff like that. So I love her alignment with Yule, and I just think she's great as a character. I'll get more into her gameplay when I get to her, but I think she's just awesome person, and one day I hope to meet her. She was really blowing me away right now. I love her.
She's fantastic. And her season, she was pretty muted. Like she had
25 confessionals, the least out of any winner on this season.
She had moments of like this snarkiness, but she's not like she was. It was Coach and Ozzy were all. It was their show. So she is so awesome.
Brandon Hands, Cochran.
I'm so glad they're giving her like her well deserved screen time.
Yeah, she got the show. Her season had too many characters that either wanted to be big, or that's like one of the worst edited seasons in the history of the show. Yeah. I mean, you had Whitney Duncan who had like 4 confessionals, and you had Cochran who had like 85. Like it's absurd. But yeah, I like where Sophie's at. Like I said, I just have her a little bit lower. My number 3, I think, is an easy one. I got Denise, and I actually thought, Alexa, this is who you're going to put at number 1. She's got an idol. She's in the majority alliance no matter what way this flips. I mean, that's what's crazy here is we have 7 people on Cele right now. And Denise, Ben, Michelle, and Jeremy, they're going to vote out Rob, Parvati, or Adam next. Like, there's really no other way I see this going down. There's no reason for it to go down another way. So I put Denise at 3 because she has the other. I put Ben at 4 because I don't see any reason that Ben goes home this week. He'd have to make some really insane boneheaded move. And for as goofy as he's been, he hasn't been boneheaded. So I think he sticks around. Yeah. So I like these two right here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I stay on the Red Tribe going down to number 4. I have Sarah at number 3. I think, what did she get? She got a steal a vote?
Yeah.
Which she has already played correctly, but not even so much her advantage. Tony is like pretty indebted to her, and not because of, oh, he screwed her over 5 seasons ago or 10 seasons ago, but he is playing really smart, but he knows if he does one thing wrong, he's in trouble. And so he's going to continue to protect her. He's going to keep her safe. And on the flip side, I think she will do that for him, but I don't think she is as needs to be as tied to him as he is to her. Mm-hmm. I think Sarah, like in all of her secret scenes, she's been really funny, really gregarious. She and Tyson have gotten along. I think Sarah she won Game Changers because everyone like fell in love with her. And I know that people said what they said, like people can think that she was a boring winner, perhaps.
Yeah.
I'm sure a tough pill to swallow, Tommy. But I think Sarah's crushing it. I think she's doing really well. And my number 4 is the other leader of an alliance is Yule. I don't think there's any reason to get rid of Yule. I think he's got everyone wrapped around his finger.
Yeah. I'll go up next because I have Sarah at 4, and then I'll go into my 3. They're going to like segue into each other. I love Sarah. I think she came in again too, changing up her game a little bit, understanding she needs to build these relationships. But what I heard about her was that when she won, I heard that everyone went to Ponderosa and was just like, wait, kind of like this. It was like, I'm her number one. I'm her number one. I'm her number one. Everyone loved her. Like everyone was like fighting about her on Ponderosa, like who she loved more. I'm like, she's like that, you know how kids always want the parents to love them the most? Like, I feel like that was Sarah when she won. And so I think she's doing that again. And she is doing amazing. Dalton Ross, right, had the thing of who you want to vote off first. I think half of them had Sarah.
And it was insane.
Every female wanted her gone.
Yeah. And now look at her. She has a steal the vote. Her name has never come up. She's building these relationships back with people that screwed her, like Tony and people like that. And I don't think she's dumb enough to realize, like, hey, in the back of my mind, Tony screwed me once. He's going to do it again, but I can trust him for now. Why? Like, I have to build that relationship to amend that. And I think it was really smart of her to tell him about the steal the vote because Tony wants to know everything. And I feel like he will keep a secret. And you telling Tony, like, Tony's now like, oh, that's my girl. I'm locked with her. And so I think I'm always the one to say, don't tell people. But I think some people that you can tell, like, tell Tony. And he'll be indebted to you and he'll love you forever. Mm-hmm. But my number 3 is Tony.
Yeah.
Talking about changing your game and knowing your flaws. Tony has come into this game and it was a funny first episode. And he was like, I'm on lockdown. I'm on house arrest. He made a joke about it. So I think he's way smarter than people think. Him joking about being on house arrest, he's telling everybody, I know your perception of me and I'm changed. Mm-hmm. I'm making a joke about it. I'm going to sit around camp and make jokes and build these relationships. And he understood, I backstabbed Sarah. Let me build that relationship. And they have this really cool handshake. Like, that was smooth. Like,
yeah. I love that.
That was like, I don't know what it was. I'm like, it looked cool. It was flawless. Like, it was awesome. And also, how do you not love Tony? He needs his own show. And he's phenomenal. So I put him at number three because I think he knows who he is. He knows how he is perceived, which is the number one skill in Survivor. And he's a joke and he makes those ladders. But I think people are now kind of viewing him as a joke instead of this crazy idol hunting nut job that makes these crazy moves. I think he's showing that he can be loyal, that he's not that nut job, that he's here for a good time. But you let Tony get going and he's going to smash you. And I'm so excited that one, his name hasn't come up, and two, playing as well as he is. So I'm a huge Tony fan and I think he's going very far in this game.
Tony put ash on Sarah's forehead on Ash Wednesday. Like, how much is CBS paying this man? Like, it's incredible.
Oh my God. He is like, I've never met him. I want to shake his hand. And I think that's the guy you want to beer with because he is his, and that's him. He's genuinely, I think, that funny. Like, he's not a lot of people ham it up for the camera. Like, even on my season, like, I know people are hamming it up, but like him, that's Tony. And I think it's going to help him in this game. And he is blowing my mind of he's Tony. He'd be the first person I would want off over Boston Rob, over Sander, because he's so chaotic. And he's just shown to be this, like, you can trust me. I'm loyal. I'm put together now. And he completely changes the way he played. And I think he's going to do wonders in this game.
Yeah, I have Tony at five and Sarah at six. So this is all for really the same reasons.
Tony's also my number five.
Who would have thought, who would think that you'd be putting Tony at number five or number three, 3 weeks in, four boots. He doesn't have an idol, doesn't have any type of advantage. And we're still that confident that he's going to be fine. And I was thinking this last week when I was watching it. He's walking through the woods with the stick and he's putting the ash on her forehead and stuff. I'm like, this guy's just having the time of his life. That's all he's doing. And that's the same way he played Kageyan. That's the same way he even played in Game Changers. He's just going out there to have the most fun he can possibly have. But the difference between what he did in his first two seasons is that now he's having the most fun and also not being threatening to anybody by having the most fun. Everybody thinks he's a doofus, which is amazing because he's not. And I think what people forget with Sarah, I thought there were some great points about Sarah by both of you, that she was probably the most likable person on Kageyan as well. And had she not just gotten a big head, she does not go home at the merge and very easily could win that season. And then she comes out in Game Changers, realizes her mistake and wins it. And now it looks like she's playing the exact same game she played in Game Changers, and nobody is threatened by Sarah at all. Who would think that this duo from Kageyan, one of the most popular seasons of the show from recent memory, because it was such a great season and so well-liked, and everybody talks about it all the time, who would think that those two would be in your top six for all three of us going into the fourth episode of a season? And yeah, their tribe has nine people, which means that there could be a little bit more chaos that goes on if they lose. I don't see Sarah or Tony's name coming up in any situation at all.
Yeah. And think about the coming attractions, right? They're not really working with Tyson or Sandra right now, but the coming attraction shows Sandra and Tyson coming to Tony and saying, hey, we're the big targets. Like, we have to stick together. Where Tony is again now in the middle spot where the big targets, Tyson and Sandra, are going to Tony and saying, we have to pick off the others one by one. And the rest of his tribe, you know, Nick, Wendell, he's boys with them too. So I think he's doing great. And I think someone on the chat said, like, they haven't gone to tribal, but if they're going to tribal, I don't think his name is going to come up at all, or Sarah's. But also, you power rank based on, I don't think they're going to go to tribal council. I think they're going to win and keep winning.
Uh-oh.
Tommy's gone.
And he's gone. Oh, he was making such a good point, too.
He said, I don't think they're going to go to tribal. I think they're going to stay. I'm gonna text him and be like, Tommy, what the hell, man? Where'd you go?
Tommy's so excited about
Alexa,
that.
Tell us your number six.
I'm actually going to go all the way to my nine because my six through nine are just all the same alliance. So my number six is Michelle. My number seven is Denise. My number eight is Jeremy. And my number nine is Ben. That group of four controlled that vote, and there's no one within that group of four versus the other three who I didn't mention who should go home before then. I think they have to stick together. Why do you get rid of Denise? Why do you get rid of Ben? Jeremy like can't go home because he can dip out of tribal whenever he feels like it.
Yep.
And who's going to get rid of Michelle? Everyone's pissed at Adam. Everyone's sick of Boston Rob.
My back.
There You're you back. Go.
The hell, man.
You were making such a good point. I felt so bad.
There we go. Teaching what time with Tommy lesson of the day. Charge your laptop.
Charge your laptop, kids.
Or have it plugged in. Rookie mistake. I'm a rookie podcaster, but it's a teaching moment. You know, you have to drop the teaching time with Tommy lesson somewhere in here. So
and that's how you ham it up for the cameras, everybody.
Yeah. So Alexa just went through her 6 through 9 because it was all that alliance. Alexa, rattle them off again so that Tommy knows.
So I go Michelle at number 6, Denise at number 7, Jeremy at 8, and Ben at 9. And I was saying that out of those four, you have Michelle, who we were just saying there's no reason to get rid of. Ben, everyone thinks he's boneheaded. Denise is Denise, and this is how she wins. And Jeremy can ditch tribal council whenever he feels like it. Then you look at those other three who are on the blue tribe, which is Adam, who everyone hates, Boston Rob, who everyone's kind of sick of, and Parvati, who's doing nothing wrong, but everyone just needs to get rid of her always. So within that four, they'll eat each other, but not right now.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I mean, that, like I said, I put them as my top four. Right. I just think that there's no way that has finally solidified itself as an alliance. And we was waiting to see Denise and Adam were close and all that. I do think Adam actually fits in a little bit better with that group because of Denise. But I mean, there's no way that they're going to turn on each other right now when you have Adam, who nobody really trusts, and Boston Rob and Parvati are these huge, huge, huge threats that you've got to get rid of at some point. You're not going to start eating your own to keep them around. It makes sense to get rid of an Ethan because he's not one of your own, but to get rid of one of them now, it would be crazy to get rid of Ben if you're Michelle or Denise or Jeremy. So I like where that alliance is at. Tommy, you were making a great point about something, and then it just vanished. So I don't know if you just want to go into your 5 and 6 and just hope that it comes back around.
Yeah, maybe. This is going to be pretty simple. I'm going to go 5, 6, and 7, maybe 8. Because 5 is Yule. I think he's doing fantastic. I think, again, he's this smart guy. He finds Sophie Clark to, like, we're the smart people. We have to stick together like a shield for how smart you can be. But he's doing a really good job of just being calm, consistent, and you don't realize how much that goes in Survivor 2. The reason I loved Janet so much was that she was always level-headed. She was calm. I could talk to her and know where her brain's going, and I didn't have to worry about her switching back and forth between people and lying about this. You know how, like, Sandra lies to you and makes up these rumors? Like, Yule's not doing that. So I think what helped him so much is that people are going to go to Yule and trust him and know that he's logical, that he's loyal, that he's, you know, kind of like a robot, you know, those are the people you want to play with. So I would want to play with Yule because I would know his kind of every move, even though he's smart and can backstab you. I just don't think that's in his nature. Then I have Sophie. We talked about them. So I have those guys as like a dynamic duo. I love watching her. And I think she's doing a great job. And then I have Denise at 7. Tommy loves his mommies. You all know that. I think he's doing great too, because sometimes you get stuck trying to be with someone, trying to form that dynamic duo. She had that dynamic duo with Adam, right? She gave him the idol. He gave it back. Now you can be done with him. I feel like I thought she was gonna, like, try to, like, be like, no, we have to keep Adam, or, you know, maybe he made a mistake. You know,
she didn't care.
She was just like, wow, why would he do that? It wasn't obvious that, like, because then it could backfire on her and people could be like, well, why is Denise trying to save Adam so bad? You know, maybe we should get Denise out instead. You know, who's she working with? Who's she most loyal to? Where she played it really nicely, where she said, okay, I'm down to vote off Ethan. It keeps Adam. Adam's going to come running to her now. She's going to be like, I had no choice. I was the last one to know. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't sway them. They told me too late, blah, blah, blah. But I think she's kind of like in the middle part too, where no one views her as a threat. She has an idol, and that Adam's going to come running to her and try to use her as a number. So I don't think she has anything to worry about if they go to tribal.
Yeah, I completely agree. I have Sophie and Yule just a little bit lower, mainly because I put the entire alliance from blue at my top four. Tony, Sarah, who I don't think are in any danger. And then my next two are actually Nick and Wendell, because where have they been?
Yeah.
Those are your next two. Yeah. Cause like, I just don't see, like, and I don't have anything really to add on Nicker Wendell. I just don't see Nicker Wendell going home now, because why would you get rid of, like, if Nicker Wendell was going to go home on an all winter season, on these big all-star type seasons, we don't see players go home without getting something for the most part. You know, Danielle and Candace kind of didn't get much back in Heroes Villains, but they got enough. And also they were the two smallest characters on that season. Wendell and Nick have their fan bases. There's just no doubt about it. Wendell especially has a really big fan base. And we haven't heard much from either of them. I don't think Nick's going home with one confessional saying, and then goes home this week. So I think the two of them have kind of put themselves in this middle position where there's really no storyline to give them right now. And I don't know if either of them are going to win. That's probably why we're not getting more of them. But that's why they're just not getting screen time, because there's just other more important, the Yule and Sophie and Sarah and Tony and Tyson and Cam. And those are more important than these two. So Nick and Wendell are my 7 and 8.
I have Nick and Wendell as my 8 and 9 due to the same exact fact. You have to play edit. You know, they're not going to win because their edit's not giving them anything. But they're not going to go home, like you said, because it's a winter season. You have to give everybody a little something, like you just said. However, Nick and Wendell hasn't had to play yet either.
Nope. You know,
one tribal, it was more of a straightforward vote. They weren't in trouble. They have their alliance. You know, people are coming up to both Nick and Wendell and want to work with them. So I think they're in a good spot. I don't think they really have to play yet, which is great. They're going into what? There's 16 people left and they haven't had to play Survivor. So
awesome.
Like that's what you want. You know, they can go into a tribe swap without even having to scheme or do anything like that. So they haven't caused any ripples in the water. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Everyone was still from their tribe, still want to work with Nick and Wendell, come a tribe swap, come anything like that. So I think Nick and Wendell, they are completely fine. They're playing under the radar. They have some shields in front of them. And I think they're going to be fine and do well in this game.
Yeah.
Wendell's my 10 for all reasons above.
Yeah. So I'll do my 9, 10, 11 then, because it covers Sophie and Yule. 9, I have Sophie. I just dropped her a little bit just because of last week. She didn't have much. And then I'm wondering, like, well, maybe she was getting a lot early on because she does go home as like part of a blindside or something. Maybe Tyson and, you know, Sandra and Tony and all them are able to pull something on Sophie. So I worried a little bit for her there. My 10 is Sandra because she still has the idol. And I know, like, I keep putting her higher than most people, but as long as she has an idol and she's on the winning tribe, I think she's okay. So I like Sandra there. And then my 11 is Yule. Big drop for Yule after having a really good start. Not really much of a reason for it, aside from the fact that I can't see Tony or Sarah going this week. Nick and Wendell have been so invisible. I don't see it being them. Yule's a bigger threat than Sophie, so I don't see it being Sophie. And Sandra has an idol. So for me, it's kind of like Yule just kind of fell into this spot of my last person who I feel like is really safe this week, but also like could go home if some insanity were to happen on that red tribe if they lose. It's the only reason I put him at number 11. The next five people are the five people who I actually think can go home this week, though.
I like everything you
said. Oh, thanks, Tommy.
Good job, Phil. Sandra's my number 11. We see that, like, Sandra, Tony, Tyson conversation happening next week, but it's which is crazy because she's an idol, and I've consistently put her in the bottom half of my rankings every week. I think she'll use it. I think she could get a little overconfident, but I think she's won twice. Like she knows when she's in trouble and when she's not. I do not see her giving that to anybody. I see her keeping that for herself, which is 1,000% the right thing to do. So I go Sandra at 11 and Tyson at 12, because Tyson's name has been floating around for a little bit and I don't know who's going to defend him.
I have Tyson lower. So Tommy, if you want to catch up. I don't want to talk about Tyson yet.
Yeah, I don't either. I have 10 as Ben. And the one thing I want to say about Ben, first of all, is the dude gets a lot of hate.
Oh, yeah.
And poor guy.
He is an American hero. He fought for our country, and he's getting so disrespected. But what I love about this season is Michelle Fitzgerald, Nick Wilson, they all took to Twitter to have his back. So
yes,
I love that. Survivor's a big family. You know, plenty of people reached out to me when I was getting hate. So I just want to give that shout out where, like, Michelle and then, you know, Nick and a bunch of people started, you know, tweet Adam Klein, where it's just like, dude, like, you guys lay off him. Like, sorry a twist came. If a twist came, you would use it too, you know? So
I'm loving Ben so much.
And I, I do think that, like, I also think that with Ben, I've met Ben, and I will say this, out of all the survivors I've met, me and him have like an age disparity, but not an age disparity like me and Janet have, where like you just kind of naturally like flock to somebody who kind of is the same age as your mother and all that. Yeah. Me and Ben have that weird age disparity where it's like two dudes where he could look at me and be like, who's this little guy, whatever. And I could look at him and be like, hey, I'm a little intimidated, or maybe I just don't have anything in common with him. Ben's like the nicest, just straight up guy I think I've met from Survivor, where he came up to me and his wife had like, or his wife like pulled me over to him and like all his buddies. And it was like, we watched every week. We did all of that. And I was like, I love this. And the guy's just a genuinely nice guy who is doing everything. And he literally just gets hated because he took advantage of a twist that the producers put out there for him. Yep. And he won the game and beat Chrissy, who everybody really liked. He beats Chrissy and he just gets so much hate. And it's for that. And anybody who says it's not for that, you're backseat driving, doing whatever you want to do and changing it. You're Monday morning quarterbacking and saying it's a different reason. It's literally just for that. Yeah. And it's ridiculous. He's funny as hell. Yeah. He's coming across a little doofy on this season, but I love it. Good. We need it.
Doofy. Yeah. I want them to keep showing me doofy Ben because I love it.
Yeah.
And also,
you're talking about Ben.
He played hard. He found idols when everyone else was sleeping. Like, dude played hard. Like, I respect his game because I couldn't play his game.
He was better than
me. People win in different games. I won purely social. He won purely because of advantage and stuff, but he won the game. But also another thing is he was the one person, too, to call me. And he was just like, congrats on your win. Like, I know season 40 is all winners. Like, dude, I just wanted to say, like, I wish you were out there and, like, you're still part of that family, like, blah, blah, blah. And
that's awesome.
I spent 2 hours on the phone with him and it felt like 10 minutes. Like, he's just someone easy to talk to. And that's what's going to get me into this point. I think you don't realize how likable he is when you meet him. And, like, he makes you feel comfortable. He makes you feel like you can talk to him about everything. And I think that's what's going to help him in this game. And that's why I have him at 10. And I think what helps him is, he's been stumbling, acting goofy, dancing, just kind of like Tony. I feel like that lowers people's guards on you. Yeah. Where Ben is same thing as Tony, is known as this crazy, go find idols, play them, find three in a row, spend all night. He hasn't been doing that. And he has been lowering his threat level by being goofy, stumbling over his words, and he's owning it. Like, his confessional was awesome. He was laughing at himself. So I thought that was really, really cool. So I have Ben at 10, and I think he's in an okay spot, and I think he continues to do what he's doing. He'll go far in this game.
Yeah, and he's another one, though. Like, he's not going to win because he's Ben. He's got to play the game in order to win. And honestly, even though he's probably not off to a hot start to be like, ooh, we're going to vote for this guy to win, he's going to represent our season, I do think that people like him so much that it might be enough to get him just far enough that then he can start to turn on his game again. Cause that's exactly what he did in Heroes, Heroes, Hustlers. People liked him enough to keep him around. And then they wanted to get rid of him. It was too late. Cause he could find idols and he had the fire making challenge and he had all those things. And am I saying that Ben won in the most fair way imaginable? No, but now fire tokens are literally idols and stuff are literally being handed out by people on an island after they've been voted out of the game. That's not fair either. I mean, there's plenty of things with Survivor that are not fair. You know what the most fair version of Survivor was? I can't even say season one because of all the Stacey Stillman
shit. Episode one?
Probably season two.
And that's Survivor too. You have to know your thing. And I was actually going to talk about this. Edge of Extinction, you could be playing a perfect game and then it could be 10-1 and that one person gets gifted this idol from Edge of Extinction and you go home playing a perfect game. So you always have to have that in the back of your mind. But also with Edge of Extinction, the more social of a player you are, the more tokens you're going to get, the more advantages you're going to get. So you have to vote out people in a strategic concept where you might get their token. You might get an advantage from them. So if I was on the island, I would be talking to people and be like, yo, I'm with you. But hey, if we get tribe swapped, then I'm going to give you my token.
Yeah, well, look at what Natalie's doing. It's shown in how she's selling these advantages to people who she knows are going to buy them.
Yeah.
Well, and I was going to say, that's why I'm kind of surprised people haven't voted out Boston Rob. I get you might want to use him as a shield, but you have to be terrified that Amber is going to be finding things and giving them to him.
Yeah.
You have to be terrified. I would have voted Boston Rob off by now. I'm just saying, no matter what happens,
might
I would
not be realizing what's going on yet.
I agree. Yeah, you're right.
These are 20 players who are way smarter than I am, but I feel like they are not really seeing it because no advantages have come up yet. Like nothing's been played.
But and then, my memory is, didn't like Boston Rob tell Poverty, like she kind of knows now, wasn't he like, oh, Amber got voted off because I have a token or something.
Yeah, he was like, I'm going to go buy a tarp or something.
Yeah.
But also as a player, you have to always think of the jury, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're not getting gifted tokens, you know the jury's not on your back. So as the merge comes, if I'm not getting tokens, I know I either have to start building more strong relationships or play a big resume game because you're going to get tokens from people that like you. So if you're in the merge, you're in the final eight and no one's giving you tokens, that means that you have no jury votes. So you have to build this extreme crazy resume so that they might not like you, but they have to respect your game. So I think that's going to be an added layer where you're going to see in maybe seasons to come where people are going to start playing differently based on if they're getting tokens or not and stuff like that. So it's a cool concept. I don't know if I would want it on a season of all winners and stuff like that. I don't mind the Edge of Extinction because I like seeing all these winners back and forth, but I think there's a lot going on. And these winners are going to figure out a way somehow with these tokens to blow up this game. And it's just only time going to tell once they all realize what's going on.
That's why I'm kind of okay they started it on an all-winner season. Because give it to the best of the best and give it to, like, if somebody – see, on this season, if somebody gets screwed over by some crazy twist, I'm not going to really feel that bad for them. Mm-hmm. And, like, normally I would. I felt terrible for Ceree. I feel bad for Kimmy and Keith when that whole crap went down in Second Chance. But on this season, like, yeah, obviously, if Yule is playing a perfect game and goes home because of some BS, everybody's going to be up in arms and be like, what the hell? But Yule's doing okay. He won the game. This isn't his life. Yeah. This isn't his one shot. This isn't some crazy, like, finally I get my second chance and I get screwed because of BS. He's won the game before. So I'm not going to feel as bad. Yeah, I'll rant about it on this podcast, but that's really it. So I'm okay with them doing it now because I'm glad from at least what we've heard, it looks like Edge of Extinction is not coming back for a very long time, hopefully ever. And if that's the case, that means these fire tokens are going to be put into effect in a different way moving forward. And I like the idea of the fire token. I really do. I think it's a pretty cool concept. If we're going to do this without Edge of Extinction, I'm glad they figured out in this season like that they have to do it without Edge of Extinction moving forward. Because otherwise it's going to give too much of an advantage to Jeremy just happens to vote the same way as Natalie. People are going to start doing what Angelina did with Natalie Cole and stuff. I won't vote for you. Can I have your jacket? Well, instead of your jacket, it's I won't vote for you because I want your token. Yep. And how much can you see through that and everything? Because that person is going over to Edge of Extinction and then can give you advantages and idols and whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that there's not going to be Edge moving forward with this because I think it's a cool concept.
No, I agree. And I think also it's not fair, Edge. I think I've talked about it with you guys too. It's, you get to, if you're on the edge, like Chris Underwood, he got to spend all this time with these players and they got to talk about real life. They didn't have to lie. You know, you're not coming back in the game with them. So you're not playing the game anymore. You're just building relationships and you're just sitting on an island with them all day long. And then once you come back in the game, it's like you want to root for one of your own. Like if us are on the edge and Phil gets back in, I'm going to be like, damn, I want Phil to win because he's like one of me. He did what I couldn't do. I want to root for him. And I just spent 30 days BSing about what we're going to do when we get home. So it's like, I don't like Edge on that, where it's like you kind of get to manipulate the jury, where if Gavin was in the game the whole time, right? He didn't get to talk to anyone on the jury for 39 days. So I don't think
to me that's the worst part of Edge of Extinction. It's not even like, oh, you got voted out and you're in purgatory. It is that you are a member of the jury until you're not.
Yeah. Like,
that is just ridiculous.
And it's crazy that Edge of Extinction is one of those concepts that actually gets easier the longer it goes on, where like Redemption Island
is gonna have 20 freaking fire tokens.
Yeah, Redemption Island's always hard because, you know, you're battling it out, you got to keep winning the challenges to stay. Edge of Extinction, Natalie Anderson's life gets easier every time somebody else shows up. That's one less thing she has to do. Yeah, she has to compete with people to find the advantages and all that, but it's one less thing she has to do because now somebody else can go. I mean, we saw Danny go and catch a fish. Well, Natalie Anderson's gonna eat some of that fish and she didn't have to catch it. It gets easier as it goes on, which is crazy because it's something that should be difficult, but the difficulty doesn't come in until it's okay. Now we have to win the challenge. Obviously Natalie Anderson might struggle a bit more than somebody who's been in the game and won some rewards and all of that when the challenge comes around, but still, like, it just gets too easy the longer we go because there's too many people hanging out there.
But also it's not fair if I made the final three and never met, like, Reem, right? She got voted off first, and she ended up being on the jury. But I might have not met her. Yeah. So why is she going to vote for me if she's never even met me before? So that's what I don't like. I think they should come back and merge. And then if you didn't get back in, you go home and then merge on. You get voted off. You just go to the Ponderosa and you're on the jury. Yeah. I think there should be one point where you get in and it should be at merge. And those people that don't get in have to go home. Yeah. But hey, we can't change it. So we got to enjoy it and watch it and see the craziness unfold. So as a fan, I wouldn't like it as a player, but as a fan, hey, I'm not playing. I'm excited to watch. But also, imagine Tony on Edge of Extinction, how fun that would be. I would want a live feed of Edge of Extinction of Tony just running around and doing crazy things.
Well, I'm pumped that we get to still see Ethan because I've wanted to watch Ethan play for 15 years again. I love Ethan. He's the man. And I think that got lost in my obvious Michelle love last week.
Yeah.
But I was bummed Ethan went home. But it's one of those things like you kind of have to be like, all right, like I still have Michelle, so I'm going to pump that up more than I'm going to sit here and be like, Ethan's gone, because Ethan at that point is on Edge of Extinction. Like, I want to talk about what's still going on in the game, but I was pissed Ethan went home. Like, why couldn't, and it's not that I dislike, like, everybody thinks I also hate Boston Rob and really don't like Parvati, and that's just not the case. It's just, I much rather would have had Ethan still in the game. And because I love Ethan, I think Ethan's one of like the realest people to ever play Survivor. I think he's a really good guy, and I want to see him out there still enjoying this adventure. I think he's still going to have a really good time on Edge of Extinction. They're trying to play it up like he's going to pass out and get pulled or something. That's not going to happen, but I think he's going to be able to go out there. And I think we're still going to get a lot of great content from Ethan moving forward. That's going to leave the fans being like, okay, like we can live with this, but I was bummed he went home. I really was.
You don't have a heart if you weren't bummed. Like, right. He's just the nicest human being ever. But that's crazy. But also, can I talk about that vote off? I'm probably, maybe, you know, it's going to be a little not what people think, but I disagree with voting off Ethan 100%. I would have voted off, say, a Boston Rob, because if you want to keep Shields, right? Shields are fine. I love Shields. I won the game because I kept Shields, right? I kept Elaine. I kept Janet. I kept Lauren until I needed to vote them off. But Ethan's just as big of a Shield as, say, Boston Rob. Boston Rob goes. He's not getting these idols anymore. But Ethan, no one wants to sit at the final three with Ethan. He has the best story of anybody. He's the nicest guy ever. Everybody loves Ethan, from your grandma to anybody that's playing. And you can use that as a shield. When you come to merge, you can say, hey, do you want to sit next to Ethan? We got to vote him off. So he can be a shield, but he's also way more predictable. He could be way more loyal.
Very old school.
Rob is so good, as you can see, at stirring up games. Adam told him this information. He was able to stir it and almost vote off Adam. So I think Boston Rob is way more good at the X's and O's of Survivor, where you vote that off and you keep Ethan, who's predictable, but he's also a shield, but he's also more loyal. Yep. So that's what I would have done. They're trying to weaken Boston Rob. Just get rid of Boston Rob. And I get the meat shield thing, but Ethan is just as good of a shield.
Yeah, because if you think about it this way too, like let's say they vote off Boston Rob last week, then you can pick between Parvati and Ethan this week, and you're still getting rid of a huge threat to win the game. But you got rid of the threat, the Edge of Extinction threat, first. And I think that by getting rid of Ethan, Ethan wasn't going to be getting tokens and advantages and all this crazy stuff from Amber. I mean, they dated once and then they broke up. So obviously something went wrong there. She's not going to be like, oh, Ethan, take all of this. But Boston Rob could have that. And luckily for everybody, Amber is not able to find anything. But yeah, I think Boston Rob was absolutely the right move last week. I was really surprised it wasn't him and that they ended up going Ethan instead. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens this week. I mean, I still don't think Boston Rob's out of the woods. That's for sure. But man, the longer he stays around, it's like, well, who are you going to start voting off? Soon you're going to start voting off people who like you actually want to play the game with, if you're really that worried about keeping him around.
And right now, Boston Rob, he only has Parvati, but if we tribe swap, he's friends with Tyson, and they don't know that Sandra and him don't get along right now. They're in their mind, they're thinking they spent 39 days on season 39 together. They're thinking they're best friends, and he's friends with Tyson. So you now, with not voting him off, in their heads, he can be aligned and get this footing in. He has Parvati now, and then he can get all these people from the other side and get momentum again. So I said, instead of weakening him, they should have voted him off. And Ethan is still a great meat shield for you. You know, I get the shield. That's how I won the game. Shields are great, but there's many shields out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally agree. I was going to say, who's your number 11, Tommy?
11 is actually, I'm going to go with Sandra. I think she is in a decent spot. She has an idol. She's a very smart player. I think she knows if she has to use it. I don't think she's going to go to tribal, but if she does, there was a scene of her talking with Tony, Tyson coming back to her. So I think Sandra has enough footing in this game, and where I don't think she's going to go anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, I think, and with the idol, I just think that that's too much for anybody to overcome with her. My number 12, since Alexa, you went to your 12 with Tyson, my number 12 is Parvati. I think that she's in trouble, but there's been a lot of talk about these pregame things. And I think what we've, you know, what we haven't really talked about yet is Boston Rob and Jeremy, like, they're friendly before the season started. I mean, they play poker together, all that. So maybe Jeremy's like, I really want to keep Boston Rob. I can work with him. Eventually he's going to have to get rid of him, but right now he can't. Michelle kind of always said she wanted to work with Parvati. I mean, her, the two of them were at the Boston watch party together last week. Like, these are just known facts. So
yeah, that foursome could happen.
That 100%. Foursome could happen. And then that puts Adam as literally the person who goes home this week. There's no way Adam isn't the person who goes home there, because they're not going to get rid of Denise. They're not going to get rid of Ben. Adam is shown going back and forth. That's who's going to go. So I like Parvati here. I put her at 12. I still think there's a chance she goes, but out of the bottom three on that tribe and out of Kim and Tyson on the other tribe, I think she's got the least shot to go this week.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm going to go right there, because I have my number 12 is Parv. Mm-hmm. And I think what also is good is that her name came up and it completely went off of her name. She got one vote, but she didn't even do anything. She didn't.
She had to do nothing. It's incredible.
She stood there. And she had enough social capital where people got it off her. So I think what shows there is that Parvati still has it with just her smile and her wink. Denise wanted to give her the idol. Remember that. So there's something there. There's something there. And then Boston Rob obviously calls her his number one. Ethan left and said, Parvati was my number one, gave her a token. So there's Parvati's doing a lot more than I think is being shown, because everybody at some point is like, I'll give her an idol. I'll give her a token. She's my number one. She's my number one. And then her name came up and she didn't do one thing and it came off her name. So I think she did a great job.
Yeah.
And then I also put a comment that said, Ethan's not a shield. A shield not necessarily is somebody that's good at challenges. Mm-hmm. Elaine was the best shield out there and Janet was the best shield out there because they were the best shot of winning $1 million.
Yeah.
If Ethan sits at the final three, he's a final three shield because everyone loves his story. He had cancer. He fought back. He finally has this another chance. He makes the final three. He wins the game. That's is not necessarily someone that's good at pull-ups. So I just wanted to get back to that.
And by the way, that was the best noise Alexa's ever made on this podcast.
I
don't know if that was a sneeze, a cough.
It was a cough. It's like, that was like the first cough I've ever had where I was like, oh God, there's a tickle, and it's not. It hasn't. Well, I'm about to get super sick. I tried to mute myself, but it came like way too fast. So I'm very sorry, Tommy.
Oh my God, that was scary.
I was really hoping we were just going to not talk about that.
I tried to cover it up, but Phil wasn't letting that go.
I was just worried for anybody who's only listening on iTunes. They were like, what? Like, did Alexa just keel over and die? I didn't want anybody to think that, like, we were just ignoring the fact that
there are shockingly
– someone just wrote.
Yeah, shockingly, there are no coronaviruses in New York City, but – I think I just got it.
Well, we have a couple down here in Orange County, so it's a little scary.
Yeah, so anyways.
Yeah. I think, though, Tommy, to your point with Ethan, before we were rudely interrupted by whatever just came out of Alexa, your point with Ethan is a great one. Ethan is somebody who not only is his name and his story enough to win, he literally could have done nothing this entire season and still wins $1 million at the end. He could have done nothing. I really believe that.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like Sari back in Game Changers. If Sari gets to the final three, Sari could have played the worst game in the history of Survivor and still won the game because she's Sari and people respect it so much. And that's Ethan, because everybody respects Ethan. Everybody respects where Ethan has come from. Everybody respects what he tries to do with like his money and his grassroots soccer program and all of that. Everybody respects him so much that he could have done nothing throughout the entire game, just been so likable that he sits there at final three next to Tony and somebody else and edges them out and wins the game because he's just that likable.
So I give him my money, you know, and people don't realize that too, where like you're watching 42 minutes, right? We spend 39 days with these people. Like you want to give the money most of the time to the best player, right? But you also want to give it to the person that you love and that you want to do well with this money and that has a family and is going to do good things with it. It's really hard just to be like, they played the best game, let me vote for them. It's there's so much where, you know, if your mom's sitting in the final three, you're giving her $1 million because you love her. You know what I mean? So that's the hard part where Ethan, no matter what he does, he's sitting there, dude, I'm giving you my vote. You're an awesome, amazing person, you know? So it's, that's the other thing you have to work out for. Yeah. And then I also, my 13 is Kim. I think she was on the outs, right? She almost got voted off. She's never been on the bottom before, but she didn't go home. And what shows now is you have to know like when to just chill, right? Mm-hmm. There was one time where if on my season, right? When Missy went home, right? It was four Lyro girls and me on this tribe. I knew I had to do a lot of scrambling. But once I got on that beach, I knew I was on the bottom. There's one guy, four girls, one Vokai, four Lyro. I was like, I have to scramble like crazy. But then I just kind of sat there and let Missy self explode, right? Yeah. And I didn't go home. I think Kim's doing a very good job of just chilling. And she's like, I know I almost went home. Let me chill. I was on the bottom. Let other people overplay, just like Adam did. I know they're not on the same tribe. And let other people make mistakes, and I'll just stay here. So I think she's doing a really good job of that. I don't know if she's technically doing it because she hasn't been aired, but it's kind of showing that. And on that, now you see Tyson trying to get Sandra out, Sandra trying to get Tyson out. So now Kim's name's not up there anymore. So I think you just sometimes have to sit in Survivor, and that's a great strategy sometimes that gets overlooked. So I think Kim's doing a really good job of just sitting back and letting other people overplay, because you don't realize on Survivor how boring it is. And as the days go and you win immunity challenges, the name keeps changing because you're bored. You're like, let's just strategize something else. Oh, what happens if this happens? Let's focus now. So Kim can just chill, and they're winning challenges. So 6 days have gone by, and you'll realize in a matter of one day, the name changes from this person to that person to that person. So in 6 days, it's going to be completely off her. And that's what I think.
I like that. I mean, I have her at 14, so not at 13, but I have her at 14. I put Adam ahead of her still, just because I think that while Adam would make sense to vote out here if that tribe were to lose, they have to know that at final 15, there's probably a swap. And if you get rid of Adam and keep Boston Rob, you are literally saying to this guy, take all of your allies that are on the other tribe and have the possibility of working with them on a small tribe of five, maybe. Because if they were to do three tribes of five, he could end up on a tribe where it's him, Jeremy, Tyson, and Sandra. And they, like you said, Tommy, they still think that Sandra is like him and Sandra are close. You have the four of them, and then all of a sudden it's like Denise, you're gone. Yeah. You have no chance. So there's no way you keep Boston Rob this week if you lose. So that's why I put Adam at 13, hoping that everybody realizes that. And I put Kim at 14, kind of for what you just said, but there's just not that many targets on that tribe right now. To me, it feels like it's Kim, Tyson, or Sandra. Sandra's got an idol, so it's Kim or Tyson.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to for me. So that's why I put Kim at 14, even though I do think she's going to recover, and I do think she's going to bounce back. Right now, there's just not enough people to protect her to keep her from going. So,
yeah. Alexa? I have Parvati at 13 because I think Michelle does want to work with her. And the thing is, they got rid of Ethan to weaken Rob. Amber is gone to weaken Rob. At this point, you don't need to get rid of you don't need to get rid of a third person to weaken him. Just get rid of him. Mm-hmm. And I think Parvati doesn't have that domineering personality that Rob does. And I think maybe at first Parvati had no interest in working with someone like Adam, but I think she would gel with Michelle. And I think she would work with, I mean, if Denise says, hey, like if I found an idol, I'd give it to you.
You know,
worded that way, Parvati would like that. So I think Parvati's okay. And then I go Adam at 14. I think Adam, I mean, there was a sneak peek for the next episode where Adam was just like, I effed up big time. Mm-hmm. Like, I got to fix this.
Apology tour, baby.
Yeah, he's going to do the apology tour. He's hopefully going to just like really button it up and back it up this week. And I think he'll probably be okay.
Yeah. I have Adam at 14 due to the fact that there's a lot I want to talk about Adam, where you just said he's on the bottom and he has to do his apology tour, right? When Jason did his apology tour my season for looking at the idol, you realize how fast everyone then views you as this like weak prey. And they're like, I want him as my number. I want him as my number. He's safe. He's safe. I think like now that Adam is kind of like really on the bottom, everyone's like, wait a second. Why just vote him out? Because it's easy. Nothing in season 40 is going to be. They're going to say, let me use him. I still have him low because I don't think he's in a good spot. I have him at 14, but I think season 40, someone like Boston Rob's going to be like, bro, like, you were going to come after my alliance. I had to do that, but come back to me, you know? And mm-hmm. They're going to fight for him a little bit. Denise is going to still want to be with him. They had a relationship. He also has intel on Denise, so she's going to want to mend that and lower that. But also, Adam's move of telling Boston Rob isn't the worst move. And I know he got a lot of hate for that. I did that so much. It never got aired, but I told the Jamal vote, I was like, Janet, you're not going home. Jamal's going home. But there's a difference of doing it, and again, to Boston Rob than mm-hmm. to Janet, who I had a real, real good relationship with. I told Dean many times that when his name was up that he wasn't going home because I had a good relationship with him. But I also waited to right before Tribal. I think Adam did it way too early in the day.
They hadn't even lost the immunity challenge.
Exactly. So now you're giving them so much time to come up with the plan. If he went to the Boston Rob an hour before Tribal and try to make amends and be like, look, man, I tried my hardest. I was the last one to know. That's what I always said. I was like, I was the last one to know. They didn't tell me until last. But, dude, I just wanted to run to you before lockdown, before they send us to Tribal. Like, it's going to be poverty. But, dude, we'll figure it out. I'm sorry. Just go with it. And he doesn't have to scramble. He knows now when he comes back, he's on the outs, but I can trust Adam. He told me, he never lied to me. I think he just did it way too early. And also, I don't agree to do it to Boston Rob.
Yeah.
Maybe Ethan. Cause again, Ethan's not, you know, X's and O's kind of guy. But tell Ethan right before Tribal and to wait a little bit, you know, and it's also way too early in my opinion. Don't do it pre-merge, do it at merge when you've had 20 days with these people.
Yeah.
Don't do it. A 7 or 8 or 9.
Because even if you end up getting on Boston Rob's good side there, Boston Rob's going to get voted out at some point. He's going to go to Edge of Extinction. And then everybody's opinion is going to change on you anyway, based on what they just talk about there. Cause it's literally Ponderosa, except they're eating stuff they catch from the sea rather than what's being cooked for them. So the opinion on you is going to change, but I do agree with you. I also think, and the hate on Adam is always so ridiculous because he's another one. He just gets so much hate for no reason. Like, it's so unreal. The internet is insane with that. But I do think that he presented it wrong. Like, the way he approached Boston Rob and said, and he was like, who are we voting for? And it was no. Would you be open to something? Yeah. Like, you don't do that to Boston Rob.
No, you
can't do that, because Boston Rob is not going to sit here and go, okay, Adam, who was 10 years old when I played the first time, let me just sit here and listen to you and be your like goat who's just going to be like, okay, sure, let's vote out my ally. There was no way that was going to happen. And I think it was just the approach was wrong. And I think that there's another way to do it that would just be better. So I don't know. That's just how I feel. I also need to draw attention to Nick Coombs, who I've met numerous times. Hey, Phil, I think you, me, Tommy could rock a pretty sweet ginger alliance we ever played together. He was at the finale for your season, Tommy. And honestly, if the three of us stood next to each other, if you weren't so freaking tall, we'd all look exactly the same. So
who wins in that final three?
I win, because I played the best game, because I'm not boring. I entertain. Yeah. You know, that's what I do.
Yeah,
that's what
me. I'd make you think you played the best game, and then you take me, and then I win.
No.
Nick Combs is going to pull it out. You guys.
Well, nobody knows him, so nobody's going to vote for him to win. They're going to vote for me or Tommy, and it's going to be me because I'm entertaining, and everybody else would be falling asleep at Final Tribal.
Is that the real Russell Hance?
Yeah, it is. It is the real Russell Hance. He comments now. I know.
He bops in and out.
Dude. Awesome. Loved watching you play, man.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's a great transition, Mr. Hance, because I actually have Boston Rob at 15 and I have Kim at 16. So to me, they are pretty interchangeable. I want one from each tribe on my bottom two. Boston Rob is as weakened as he can get before he starts getting fire token or before he starts getting advantages. Like, he must go home this week. He has to.
Yeah. I have, I actually have Boston Rob at 16. I have him at last.
There it is.
You are Russell Hance.
I am Russell Hance. I put him there, though. And, you know, look, I have Tyson. That means I have Tyson at 15. Tyson could go home. I would like to see more of this Sandra Boston Rob thing come up and, like, really blow up in everybody's faces. Yeah. But the Sandra Boston Rob thing could just blow up on Edge of Extinction. Like, that, because that's there, that storyline could still come to a head on Edge when Boston Rob finds out that Sandra – and I'm telling you, when Sandra and Boston Rob are both over on Edge, that is going to eat up 10 minutes of the freaking episode when that first happens. It's going to be awful. But That's what's going to happen. And then that's when that could get blown up. So I don't necessarily think that Boston Rob needs to make it to a swap or something to have this come to a head. I worry for Tyson, though, man. And I love Tyson, but Tyson's another one. He's had a rough go of it on Survivor. He really has. I mean, his first season, he was right at the top. The wool gets pulled over everybody's eyes by JT. He goes home. The next time, the whole thing with Russell, he goes home, plays a great game in Blood versus Water, and then comes out this time with a huge target on his back, huge target. And I don't really think he's played poorly. I just think, like, on that tribe, the fact that Tony is doing such a good job of keeping his target low, man, Tyson's got nowhere to hide. He's got nowhere to hide. Sandra's got an idol. Tony's gotten a really small target. Kim has figured it out a little bit, and everybody else is in an alliance. It really feels like it has to be Tyson if that tribe goes. So I don't know. Maybe that's too obvious, and on this season, nothing's going to be obvious, but that's why I put Tyson at 15 and Boston Rob at 16.
So I have that swap. So if the blue tribe goes, I say Rob goes home. He's my 15. But again, I hate talking about edit, but this Rob versus Sandra thing, they wouldn't have thrown it in there for no reason unless it was the Amber vote out. And there's also this Rob versus Ben storyline that hasn't kind of come through. Remember, Ben's like, I can't work with him anymore. And then Rob was trying to go after him and saying, like, I don't trust him. So there's this storyline that hasn't played out. So maybe it plays out next episode and Rob goes home. But I think if that tribe goes to tribal, Rob does go home. Because, again, I said he hasn't switched up his game. He hasn't learned from his mistakes. And I think he's just going to end up going home. And then 16, I have Tyson. I think one threat. I think people on his tribe are afraid that at a tribe swap, he's going to go running right over to Boston Rob and his the poker alliance, and Jeremy's over there. And so I think Tyson one is on the outs, but also I feel like the way he talks is, I love Tyson. I think he's hilarious, but like, it doesn't come off as genuine. Right. So at the water well, he was like, you know, Sandra's, you know, bringing up your names. And they were just like, okay. And then they were like, I don't trust him. Like, Yule's confessional right from there was like, I don't trust any word he says. And then what does Yule do? Go right to Sandra and tell him. So I think just Tyson has no footing, and there isn't nobody that wants to work with him. I think who's name one person that wants to work with him. So I think it's hard for him to gain that footing, where Parvati said, she was like, if you give me one person, I'll be okay, and I'll gradually get that snowball effect going. He has nobody, so it's going to be hard to get the snowball effect going. But there's also that scene, the coming attractions, where he comes up to Sandra and he also comes up to Tony and says, hey, let's work together. And this big power, great players, you know, Tony, Tyson, Sandra, you know, or these big threats, maybe they'll work together. But I just think that Tyson has his work cut out for him, and I think he goes home this week.
Yeah, and with the tribes right now, even though it's 9-7, these challenges have been pretty even. I mean, that last one was very close. Michelle and Rob almost pulled off the comeback. They pull off that comeback. We're going into this 8-8. That's crazy. And so even though the blue tribe keeps losing, I don't necessarily think that means that they're going to keep losing. Like, they've lost the last two, but I don't think that they'll lose this time. It's very doable for them to pull out the win here. It's not like it's been dominant. So Tyson could go home. And then, Tommy, I just want to throw this out for you real quick. How would you feel if you did a auction style fantasy draft, right? And you spent all your money on Tyson, Amber, Natalie, and Ethan, and then were handed Sarah at the end, and that was your team. How would you feel about yourself?
So my whole entire team is voted off except Sarah?
If Tyson goes home this week, how would you feel about yourself?
To win? So you'd have one horse in the race. I wouldn't feel good.
Okay, cool. Because that's intern's team, and I just wanted everybody to know that so that I can keep drawing attention. If Tyson does go home this week, as Tommy is predicting, intern will have picked four of the first five boots onto his team, and those are all the people he ended up spending money on in the auction style. For he didn't spend any money on Sarah. Sarah was handed to him at the end. Damn. So I know
his actual picks went home.
All his actual picks.
Really bad too of picking our season, like. Who was his winter pick of our season?
I don't remember, Alexa. Who was his winter pick of that season?
Well, we made fun of him for having Nora in his final four, and so we had to pro for that one.
Yeah, he did have Nora very late, but he didn't pick you, so that's the important part.
That's why he's an intern.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Tommy, who you got for Eliminator? I know you listen to us, so I don't need to explain it to you. Who you got?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I knew that was going to happen.
I knew it was going to happen too, but he talked about how he listened to us. So I figured he knew.
So pretty much it's the same thing as the Survivor Pool in the NFL. You pick one person each week to who's definitely safe this week. But because next week is going to be a different guest coming on, you can either pick someone who you know is going to be safe no matter what, or you can pick someone who's on the fence to help your future people. The only people you cannot pick are Nick Wilson and Kim.
Wow. Who picked Kim?
What was that?
What was that?
But I'm using Nicole's laptop and she's getting a text.
Well, she just got the loudest text in the history of ever. Everybody who's listening to this with a dog just went nuts.
Yeah, like a high-pitched scream.
It was Lex who picked
Kim. Lex. Lex picked Kim. I'm going to pick Parvati because I'm nuts.
And I picked Adam.
You're picking Adam.
I'm picking Adam.
I'm picking – what's nice is that, like, I can just get it right and then blame it on the next person.
Well, that's the thing. For us, like, we're trying to keep it going throughout the entire season where, like – you know, as people get voted off, you start to run out of players. And if you run out of players to pick, you lose. So we're trying to keep it like that. But you can just kind of be like, well, screw it. It'll be whoever's up next for.
I'm going to go, since I talked her up so much, Sophie Clark.
Love it.
There you go.
There we have it.
So that's it. Tommy, who do you got before we let you go? And I know it's been, we've already been talking to you for way too long, but who do you like to win this season? I'm asking now because it's so early.
I want everyone to win.
What?
I want everyone to win.
I know. It's just so much fun. I'm going to give you the final three and the champion.
Okay.
I'm going to go Sophie. She's in the final three. Okay. With Michelle and Wendell with a Wendell win.
There you go.
Wow.
How is Wendell going to win with
Wendell? Wendell coming out of nowhere.
Actually, you're so right. I just said that he has no chance of winning before.
You put him in there.
You know what? No. I got this whole thing. It's going to be an all-girl final three. It's going to be Fitz. It's going to be Sophie. It's going to be Denise and Tommy and his mommy, and mommy win the whole entire
thing. Love that.
I love that.
Love that. Love any of those three winning.
Yeah, particularly Michelle, but the other two would be great too.
What do you guys have?
I think Sophie, right now, I think Sophie's going to win.
Yeah. What do you think, Phil?
I mean, I was down on Michelle the first two episodes. I thought her last episode was good. But over the course of the three episodes, I don't think hers is good enough to probably pull out the victory on the season, realistically. If she continues to have a hot – like, if episode four is as good as episode three, I'll just throw out episode two because they won the challenge anyway or whatever. Or because, like, it didn't really matter and just say screw it. But I'm probably – I don't know, man. I'm kind of thinking it's going to be like Denise or Sophie. I kind of like where your head was at with
Denise
that.
Denise is in a good spot.
Denise is in a really good spot. She's lost every challenge except for one in her Survivor career, and yet she's still in the game. Sophie's playing really well, had kind of like a smaller episode last week, but I feel like whoever wins this season, and I'm happy. Go take Pepto-Bismol. It'll make you feel better. I'm happy that – like, I'm not happy, but I feel like whoever does end up winning this season is going to be somebody who doesn't get confessionals every episode. Like, that's just not going to happen. So I think you can kind of throw that out with how much Edge of Extinction is playing into it and all that. Like, I think you can kind of throw out, oh, they didn't have it this episode, they didn't have it that episode. I mean, Sandra won Heroes Villains with like 6-0 confessional episodes. That doesn't really happen anymore, but that does happen on the show.
And with this cast, like, Tony is going to get Ben, Rob, Sandra. They're going to get a confessional every episode because they're so entertaining. So you can't get into that so much. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to give Tony confessionals. He's hysterical. So you can't.
I love not being able to look into it. I'm like loving that.
It's been so much fun. Dang it. I had a question, but I forgot. Oh, if say a girl wins, is the queen still the queen?
No.
If the guy wins, is he the king?
See, that's what's tough, though. And this is why
say if it's a guy, yes.
But this is why it's such a tricky question.
You have to beat me to be the king.
I agree.
Yes. For me, the whole queen thing, and I know Sandra doesn't listen to us, and I promise this isn't pandering to her, but
I will send it to
her. Send this to her. Oh, because you guys hang out.
Yeah. Send her the picture of me and her.
No matter who wins this is going to be likely the only other two-time winner, unless Sandra wins three times.
Yeah.
Sandra did that without an all-winner season. Yeah. And if Parvati did it, and here's her zeal, Parvati would have been the queen.
Might have been the queen.
Possibly. So to
this
me,
this is where, like, I think it's tricky, though.
Like, this is, it's different because this person has to be the second two-time winner. So to me, Sandra's still the queen.
And Sandra did it her first two times playing. There's a lot of people out there right now who might win on their third try. And Tommy, that goes to your point. Are they the king? If Tony wins, I don't know if he's the king. Like, yeah, he's great, but he got 19th place once.
Yeah, you know, I agree 100%. Like,
where Yule wins, Yule is the king.
Yeah.
Yule wins. I think if you win like two, if you play twice and won twice, you're the king. But also, I just realized it literally, her saying is queen stays queen. So maybe she's the queen because she won two in a row. And then because it's an all winners, it's kind of like a little less. And then they become the princess.
That's what it's got to be.
Yeah.
It's the princess.
Yeah. And then, yeah, if the person comes back from Edge of Extinction and wins, which is absolutely not happening, they're not shit.
Yeah, they're not the queen.
No. They're the jester.
Yeah, they're the jester. Yeah. That's it. But no, I think that's a fair question, because especially we don't have a lot of the male winners on this season, because there's been a lot more male winners than female winners. Yeah. And if you win one try, Mike Holloway wins one try, Chris Doherty wins one try, Brian Heidick wins one try, you all haven't played a second time. True. But if Tony were to win, obviously everybody's, I mean, Tony can be the king. I mean, Tony's pretty much the king of Survivor anyway. I mean, he caught a freaking shark and almost bit his arm off. But he did get 19th place once, and that makes it a little bit tougher. And a lot of the men on this season have played, not a lot, but there's a good amount who have played more than once. Like, Boston Rob's not the king if he wins. Yeah. He lost three times.
And I think, like you said, it's all winners. To Sandra to win and then be on a season as a winner, usually, like, remember Tom Westman, they're like, he won, vote him off. Like, that's how it happens. Like, they're all winners, so that kind of just is a blanket. Like, it goes away. But if you can win and then play a season where it's not all winners and win again, like, that's
unreal.
I think queen just stays queen.
Queen stays queen. I think you're right. I think she's the queen. You're right.
The best way to end this. Queen stays queen.
Yeah.
All right, Alexa, why don't you take us home then?
Yeah, so I was not here last week. I had something to take care of at like literally 7:59. So this week we are going to be live at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern with our episode 4. This is
6:30 p.m. We got to watch the episode first.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm in a bad place. 6:30 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time with our episode 4 recap. I can't believe we're already 4 episodes into the season. It's insane. Tommy, we loved having you on. Wish we were watching you, but I'm glad that we can chat with you throughout this season.
Yeah, maybe next time we'll I'll be out there.
Winners at War, season 80.
And then I will self-proclaim myself king when I win back-to-back.
Yeah, hashtag, why aren't you Swagman Tommy?
You know what? I'm trying to humble myself because – not in general. No, I'm still gonna be cocky. Not be humble, but I said it's an all winners. I'm not on the season, so I'm just now a fan again. So I'm trying to humble myself and watch these winners play and judge them because that's what I can do now.
That's very humble of you.
Yeah,
I like that.
I'm growing up before
Reddit. We all know it's fake as hell.
All right, everyone. Have a great rest of your day and make sure to wash your hands and don't touch any strangers on subways.
Yes.
Alexa has
you're going to make a cough like I just did.